Peace to you, church. And this morning, I really thank Pastor Glenn, Pastor Tranwei, and the congregation to invite me to preach, to share God's word. And it's a privilege, really privilege. I first met Pastor Glenn some over 20 years ago. and also known some of the members of the Cantonese congregation. Now some of them are deacons, most of them are co-workers. Some 20 years ago, the Cantonese pastor, Pastor Seahawk, invited me to their first gospel camp, the Cantonese gospel camp, which served I think young adults, career group and a college group. And I think second or third year of being a pastor. So I was really privileged and excited because no one knows me except my own church. And I was invited, you know, outside the church to a camp, to a gospel camp, to a conference. So I was really excited, and I brought my praise team to there. Okay, because I don't know much about music. I brought the two of the best I thought, even now. Okay, one of them already be with the Lord, unfortunately. No, fortunately. Okay, it's not unfortunately. For me, it's a loss, a good friend, a long time a prayer partner. Oh, I'm not talking about her. But it's a loss for me. And I God used me to preach the gospel, and some of them converted, others dedicate their life to Jesus Christ. And now I saw them. Last year I saw them became song leaders, worship and deacons. So, you know, warms my heart. When I didn't know what I was doing then, okay, I saw that God raised up them spiritually to a maturity that they can serve the church. And because that I have a long history, I learned a long history about this church, about some of the issues, unfortunately, okay. But we have a new team here, Pastor Glenn, Pastor Tranwei, Pastor Daniel, myself. We are not the same. We are not look the same. Yeah, he's a more handsome man, and I some other look, okay. In different languages, but in diversity, we show the unity that we all love Christ because he loved us. And he wanted us, he called us into this church, a local church, to bring the people, to build the people up. And I am particularly privileged to, at this moment, because of the close down and then the open up, not only physically, but the church is at a crossroad. We are talking about either renovate this church to accommodate all the ministry, right? Or we will relocate, which means we challenge the congregation to bring the gospel to this neighborhood, to this community, in whatever, I don't know what format. But when we leave this campus, if we want to relocate, there's got to be a vision. There's got to be a direction, right? There's got to be some work ministry that all of you have to share. Only four pastors, though. We cannot do that. So this morning, I really thank Pastor Tranwei as he left for Southern California to serve there. Yeah, he gave me this chance to share God's word with you. And I want to share on the passage in Acts chapter 1. Chapter 1. And the title is Preparing for Spiritual Power. I will share later. And before that, shall we have a word of prayer? Let's join our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we give our thanksgiving. We give our service. We give our body. We set apart this time to worship you and serve you. We thank you for you're so good, so great, so powerful. Thank you for delivering us from evil, to your goodness, from darkness to your light, kingdom of light. We are here to show, to tell you thank you, and we love you. And for Christ's sake and his commission, we are gathered here. And tell the world that God is alive, God is love. God resurrected our deadly spirit and bring us into an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you. And we want to really listen to what you want us to hear, to learn and to apply. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And this morning I would like to invite you to think about a church, a model church, a church that you want to join. I know you love this church, okay? But this church is not perfect. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. Then I can move on. Otherwise, I don't have to share anymore. This is a perfect church, and I just celebrate with you. You look at a model church. In this model church, members of the church are invited in daily sharing their faith. The next slide. You want to involve or participate in a model church, we usually look to Acts chapter 2. Okay, this is a church when every member, or at that first day, every member was known that they confessed their sin and received Jesus Christ. The number is about 3,000. And they bring their friends and family, associates, and they made decisions to Christ. Thousands, maybe 3,000. And there is fellowship. Oh, can you run that? Yeah. Okay. There is fellowship, and there's real fellowship, no mask. I mean, open heart, okay? It's not these masks. They throw away their mask. They don't guard their heart. They're coming off with no more pretending. The relationship are really deep, and they are honest and vulnerable, and they build up a very deep and close community. They are not only born-again Christians, they open themselves and receive others, encourage one another, they support one another. And we hear about their breaking of bread and prayer and vital worship. And then the people with more, the wealthier people, they sold their possessions and put the money and to share the responsibility of taking care of those who have not, the poor people. People sharing their property and their possessions. And a lot of miracles happen. Actually, when somebody willing to sell all their properties and give to another party, that's miracle, right? That's miracle. The spirit of unity and love and eating in one another's home. And that's also miracle. Especially think about the pandemic time. Would you like to invite anyone to eat with you? Likely not. We care about safety of them and us, right? Let alone their class difference. They are poor and rich, and they are educated, uneducated. They are Jews and Gentiles. They eat together. Members are spontaneous finding ways that they can pour ministry into the lives of their members of the church and people that they rub shoulders with each other on a daily basis. Would you like to be involved in such a church like this? Would you? Well, everybody enjoys that. But there's also the other side of the story. There's always a price someone has to pay. As people told me when I was here, I learned one of the phrases, there is no free lunch, Pastor. there is no free lunch pastor. I learned it when I in my first so-called invitation out to have something with a member. They told me there is no free lunch pastor. Oh, okay. I was young, about 30 years old. I don't know what that means. English is not my native language. So, but later on, other people explained to me, he has a request for you, right? So he invited you out to coffee or lunch. So, but the point is, okay, here on this side of heaven, you have good things, you have a price to pay, whether it's tangible or not tangible. And also, are you crying out to God that you want to see a church like this here? Do you? If that's your desire, what about your willingness to be part of it? Oh, I'm running, I think, to the 10th or 11th slide of my PowerPoint. Anyway, you can listen to me. Okay. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you ready? You see, there's a sandwich over there, right? Sandwich always have what? Have two pieces of bread, okay, and there's something in the middle. Which part are you going for? Going to for a sandwich, which part is your favorite? The middle one. What? You like the bread or what? You know, the bacon, middle or the middle? Are you ready? Okay, let me share with you a few verses. This morning I'd like to actually share with you Acts 1. Acts 2 is a model church. But before Acts chapter 2, the model church, there's Acts chapter 1. And in that passage that I'm going to share, it's in the middle of two layers. In the 8th verse of the first chapter, the Bible says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is a time when Jesus is about to leave the earth and ascending to heaven. After 40 days of his resurrection, after 40 days he taught and he preached and he stayed with the disciples for 40 days, and now is the time for him to leave. And that he made a promise. I left, but one of our triennial God personality will be with you, called the Holy Spirit. You have to wait another couple of days, maybe another 40 days. We call it it's 40 days. We call it the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended. And in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit actually came down after Peter preached the word of God. Okay? Holy Spirit came after the word of God. That's every preacher's dream. And every listener's dream too. After I preach, and then this opened up. Oh, no, this opened up. I don't know. What do you think when this opened up? But when this opened up, the Holy Spirit descended. It's our dream. But in between, what happens? You see, in between, what happens? This is God's plan for us to learn. So that Luke, in God's inspiration, he write down this section. That between the Holy Spirit, between the promise and the coming down of the Holy Spirit, there's a period of waiting. And this period is not that long, because Jesus already taught for 40 days. Okay? The Pentecost is 50 days after resurrection, right? Am I right? So they have to wait maybe another 10 days. They don't know what happens. But this is what God said, I will do something. And you have to do something too. So I think this is the meat of a sandwich. Let me show you three things here I can learn. Participating in a community life, praying to God regularly and practicing biblical application. In this waiting period, to prepare for the descending of the Holy Spirit, to receiving the power, and then using that power to live a life, that becomes a model church or becomes a witness to the whole world. There are three things. The first thing is participating in community life. And while I preach, I would like to you also, these are very simple things. In your mind, in your heart, I would like to also do a little bit scaling of yourself. Maybe from 1 to 10, I don't know the scale, maybe just 1, 2, 3, okay? Good, mild, and weak, something like that. Scale for yourself. The first point here, it's participating in community life. In verse 14 it says they stay together in one accord. It's just a very general and common statement. But you know, they have to meet for, they don't know how long. Now we know it's about 10 days. And in that 10 days, what they are doing? They just have a common consent that they have to keep themselves safe. Remember, think about this. Remember, what situation are they? They used to be in the upper room. In a room, they pray, and Jesus appeared to them. But what about outside? Before Jesus showed them, before the passion and resurrection of Jesus, what did they look like? They compete with each other. Remember the Last Supper? They quarrel. Who is the number one man? They have arguments. Who is the number one man? Okay? In the kingdom. And they were falling apart when Jesus was arrested. And they have to blame who? Judas, right? Or blame Peter, you don't have the leadership. Or blame here and there. And they have even to blame God. And two of them, we saw in the description of Luke, after the resurrection, they feel so frustrated and so depressed, they left Jerusalem and they went to a journey, Emmaus, right? How do I pronounce that? They left Jerusalem. So this is not a very strong team. Okay? I'm sorry to say that. Maybe like the Sacramento Kings in NBA. Okay? Because I'm from the area, the Warriors. Okay? All right. So this is okay. This is that doesn't count. Okay? That's my. No good. But think about this community, okay? They are defeated, right? What do they do in that 10 days? They stay together. They reconcile. They show their disappointment with each other, maybe even with God. Some stronger, some weaker. The stronger may encourage. Okay, Jesus said this, let's just stay on, let's just hold on, okay? He promised the Holy Spirit will come. We don't know when, but will come. Some stronger faith will encourage some weaker faith. Peter said, oh, so boring, right? Let's go, what? Fishing! Remember in John chapter 21? Go fishing, okay? But they don't leave each other. They form a community. They form a safe place. They do not stand alone. They stay together and waiting for the Holy Spirit to give them the power. They make their will and they need the energy and the strength from the Holy Spirit to make them going. One of my teachers, I happen to have the privilege sitting under this Christian counselor, Larry Crabb. He said, what is a community? He said, a central task of community is to create a place that is safe enough for the walls to be torn down, safe enough for each one to own and reveal our brokenness. Only then can the power of connecting do its job. Only then can community be used of God to restore our soul. Should be next slide, okay, it's there. And this sort of community doesn't happen on Sunday morning when we need to hurry home or we need to hurry out because the Mandarin will come in. Just like I always experience the hurrying out of the Cantonese, right? After I preach, hey, please exit from the two side doors and the English congregation come in, okay, and if I preach to a certain time, that there will be a reminder, the chairman will give me a big circle, which means about 2 or 3 minutes left. Okay. This won't happen when a congregation just live like that. Okay, on Sunday we come in for an hour and leave, and then go to a Chinese, go to yam cha, right? Or chat with friends and do other things. Okay, we need to join small groups. We need to share, learn the word of God, and willing to open ourselves and exchange. Okay, exchange our ideas, our feelings, our futures, our troubles, our joy. And then that goes to the second point. The second point comes like on the heels of the first one. Pray regularly to God. And all these people not only gather together, devote themselves to pray together with women and other people. I particularly point to women because, you know, in that society at that time, women are not supposed to have equal with equal privilege of other men. Okay? But in the first, before it became church after the Holy Spirit. Okay, they pray, they break the social classes. We learned that in Galatians that in Jesus Christ, the Jews and Gentiles, the chosen people and not the chosen people, as the world sees, okay? And men and women, between the gender, and then free men and slaves, okay, social class. These three classes, all the cultural, social bondage was broken by the gospel. This is real community. And one of the major reasons is they pray to one owner, one boss, one master, who is Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And the entire meeting was praying. Remember, they share their life. They try to reconcile the difference or the conflict or the issues or the judgments before they move in this upper room. The whole team was defeated. They tried to fence them off from the persecution from outside. And they pray to the one God. And this prayer, I don't know about you, but most prayer, when I grow up as a Christian, most prayer I learn or I heard, or I even pray myself, it's like room service. Have you ever moved in the hotel? I think you did, right? Move in the hotel, and if I want breakfast, I just pick up the phone number. Front desk, I want a hot, I usually call a cup of hot water. And then enjoy. A few minutes later, someone knocked on the door, right? And nowadays, you don't have to go out. You can use your cell phone. There's apps for everything. I want a pizza. I want a whatever, McDonald's. I have a McDonald's app here. Okay. I want a coffee. And if you want a preacher, you can call one up too. go to YouTube. Whoever, okay, Pastor Glenn, yeah, I heard him preaching because the CGBC sermon was on YouTube. Don't you know that? I heard Pastor Chuan Wei preach. I watch him on he has this, right? I watch him on YouTube. It's good. That's everything. Use your phone. It's got just like that. No tips. If I call take out with my app, I don't have to pay tips. Okay? If I have a thick skin face, right? You know? Is that your concept of prayer? No. No. Just like this myth, okay, this story. You just rub a teapot and someone came up. Like you ring the bell. God is like a divine bellhop. No. This is not the biblical sense of prayer. The biblical sense of prayer is earnestly seeking God and His desires. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And His righteousness. Of course, we can pray in everything. He's so good, so great, so gracious. As a child, I ask Him for everything. But when a teenager, I talk to my father in different categories, different manner, different formats. And when my son grew up, of course, the first thing is move out. He doesn't want to live with us, but still love us. So when I retired a couple years, about 2-3 years before the pandemic, I retired. Actually, I'm retired. I told him, hey, son, now you got a high-paid job. IT person, okay? Then you know that he has very good pay in Silicon Valley. So I say, Daddy is going to retire, and can I ask you to take up the mortgage? Right? Father, right? This is father talk. Chinese father talk. Overseas Chinese father talk. Your parents are very different. And my son, he say, I'm gladly to do so. Wow. I was almost like a rocket shoot to sky, right? I was very trembling and whatever. He's an ABC, American-born Chinese. I'm OBC, overseas-born Chinese. So I used my way to talk to him. I expect him. I don't know how to expect. But he say, like respectful, very responsible child, very loving child, say, I am glad to do so. Is your prayer like that? Not asking God for things. And tell them, like Isaiah, right? Here am I, send me. Remember? Here am I, send me. Do what you want. It's not do what I want. This is the prayer that we encourage each other to regularly pray to God. John Bunyan, who said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Wow. It takes me a few minutes to digest this. My English is not that good, okay? So I have to, wow. But the point is very simple. Start praying. Start trusting in God. Start asking God. Start talking to Him before you do anything. You move. Stay. Be silent. Be quiet. Be waiting. As these disciples and their group praying for 10 days, other than building up very deep communication, connecting to each other, they pray to God and asking what's the next. Because what they practiced in these 10 days had to serve 3,000 people after that. Remember? and to maintain that. They keep on growing, right? These three things are very important. Build a close community and pray, focus on God's will, and willing to do afterwards. Another famous preacher, George Buttrick, said, "Prayer is not a substitute for work, thinking, watching, suffering, or giving. Prayer is a support for other efforts." It's a support. It's an initiation to know God's work. It's a support to continue the growth after Acts 2. Because after Acts 2, they added 3,000 members, and the church is not stopping because other forces will push back. In chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, you see all kinds of persecutions pressing them to slower the growth. But they keep on preaching the gospel. They advance not by military powers, but by the preaching of the gospel with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why they have to learn how to get power to sustain their movement. So this comes to a third point. The first is this: participating in a community, building a very close relationship, connecting to each other, and secondly, pray regularly, daily, and cooperatively. I don't know about your prayer meeting, but in the last 2 years, in the pandemic, the Cantonese congregation are using Zoom to pray to their prayer meeting. And they told me, actually, the number is growing. People just want to pray together. And it's grew about three times the previous number. At least on number, on paper, it's growing. Because in the pandemic, we know that this is important. And later on, I will show you another surprising data of the American Christians in the pandemic. But the third point is, okay, practicing the biblical application. And in those days, among the prayer meeting, Peter stood up, and among all the brothers and sisters and the company, and said, okay, actually, Judas, okay, we know that he betrayed the Lord, okay, that he choose his own way of the consequence to die. But we have 11. Originally, there should be 12. So let us choose one. His action is according to the Old Testament. Whether he used the Old Testament right or wrong, no comment. But the Bible recorded that he cited the Old Testament and said, we should do this likewise. He is applying a biblical passage. He is practicing the application. So this is the third thing: fellowship, prayer, which is worship, and then Bible study. So this is the third means to receive spiritual power. God's words, like in Isaiah 51:11, says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth; it shall not return to be empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose, and shall succeed in the things of which I send it." God's word, the Bible, is not for us to put on the shelf. Do we all have a Bible? Do we? Okay. I was a little surprised when Pastor Glenn bring his Bible here. Okay. I was a little ashamed. Okay. I was trained to do that. And now my Bible is here, right? I don't know. Do you follow me? Where's your Bible? Anyone has a Bible in this? Oh, no. Okay. They show me their hard copy. Okay. Well, the point is to read the Bible and apply it, right? The hard copy, soft copy, doesn't matter. It's whether you read it, you know it, you apply it. And in recent studies, okay, every 10 years that the Bible Society of America, the American Bible Society has a survey every 10 years. And recently, the result comes out that only 9% of those respondents read the Bible regularly. 9%, 1 out of 11, okay? I don't have time to tell you all the rest of the story. Three things. The meat of the sandwich tells us that God wants us to build a community, connecting, deep relationship in that community, pray regularly, depending and trusting God to lead us, and to practice whatever we read, we learn, we heard, so that we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit and maintain the movement that the power sustains us to win us for God. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit, that we sometimes we don't know, we don't touch, we don't sense, but in your word we trust. This is the movement of the Holy Spirit, and help us to practice a very deep fellowship, a deep relationship with you, which is prayer, and the wisdom to apply your word, that you will bless this church, restore this church, rebuild this church, and renew this church, and in the church that's like Acts 2. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.